Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
They got the quad going on right now. They're bad in the field. Their starting pitching hasn't been good. Their bullpen hasn't been good. And their hitting hasn't been good.
You call that the quad?
That's the quad. They're hitting on four cycles right now. They haven't been this bad in June since 2016 when they didn't make the playoffs. So, no, we haven't seen it like this.
I don't love the quad.
Yeah. Well, they're hitting for the cycle. The cycle.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Who does?
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ live now, as opposed to a show that we did. I don't know when that was. That was maybe after the weekend. But it continues to be bad with our Astros. It couldn't have been a more blah game last night. I mean, just blah.
More mistakes.
Meh.
More mistakes. Fromber.
You know, they made a really nice play, though. On Pena throwing to first, and then Abreu throws to third to get to cut the runner down, and then they got the relay.
Good tag at third.
Yeah,
scoop and tag.
The Arenado double where you get the relay and
missed,
he throws
cut off, it. Man.
Yeah, into
Dusty talked about it after the game. Like, that's just it's stuff just, that just can't happen.
Oh, it's gotta stop.
It's just stuff that can't happen. He did talk about the fact that the Cardinals changed their approach to Fromber. Like, they made a mid-game approach where they said, you know what? We're just going the other way on him. Everything we're going to try to hit is the other way. And they noticed a change, that the Cardinals changed their approach. And so they had to try to counter and change their approach, but it was a little too late. He just said, look, Cardinals did a good job of changing approach and executing approach. But it was interesting to hear that from the manager because, you know, I wasn't really thinking about them changing their approach when I'm watching. But then once he mentioned it, I'm like, yeah, you know what? And that's one of those things that a manager can pick up on, a catcher can pick up on, that, hey, they're doing something, maybe how they're standing, the way that they're approaching certain pitches. The Astros picked up on it, but it was after it was a little bit too late because Fromber, you know, they had that inning where they got touched up. And Fromber was good until the middle innings. He was doing just fine. And then, you know, the mistakes we talked about, the Astros hitting, you know, they provide two runs. It's about par for the course.
Well, you know, it was interesting, though. I was listening to Cody. I was listening to the Afternoon Boys. And the real culprit in all of this ever since Jordan went down, the real culprit who has really been the
Kyle
poorest.
Tucker?
No, Kyle Tucker is not. He's actually been pretty good.
Has he?
Yeah, he's actually been one of their better hitters since.
Mid-700s?
No, the real culprit is the pitching. I'm giving up.
Oh, not in the lineup.
Yeah, no.
Pitching. Yeah,
no, two and a half more runs a game.
The pitching has been terrible since
Jordan went down. 2.5 more runs a game.
And it's been inconsistent at starting, and it's been bad in the pen.
Yep.
And it's bad, relatively speaking. It's not like every pitcher's bad every game, but they only have four innings to get through. I mean, you should have some clean sheets more times than not, and that's not happening.
It's not happening. The bullpen has just been a disaster, a disgrace, but the starting pitching hasn't been all that either. And, you know, the other thing is, Montgomery last night, Dusty talked about this after the game, too. He said, you know, he kept the ball down when he had to. He actually looked a lot like Fromber. He got the double plays when he needed the double plays. And then when he came up in the zone, his fastball up in the zone, man, he was mowing people down. Diaz led off one of the middle innings with a single and then strikeout on high fastballs. Montgomery looked pretty good, other than the Maldonado home run. He looked pretty damn good. It was nice to see Machete turn on one, a lefty, and see how we didn't know Diaz, well, he did single off of a lefty. But then Maldonado homers off of a lefty.
Maldonado,
so there you go.
Much, much better against lefties.
Much better
well,
than Diaz.
Well, he hits better. Yeah, actually, it's, Diaz is the one who kills righty. Yeah. Yeah, he kills righty pitching and struggles against lefty.
Maldonado doesn't exactly
kill anything, yeah.
Doesn't exactly kill anybody, but he is better against lefties than Diaz. It was interesting. So it's Bly Madris, not Bly Madris. It's Bly Madris. Mm-hmm. But interesting that Dusty just said, you know, I don't understand Dusty. In this situation, in extra innings, he doesn't pinch hit for Maldonado. And with first and third, he has to bunt and bunts into a double play. But in the seventh inning, when you don't have a backup catcher, because Diaz is DHing, you pinch hit more or less a rookie, well, a new guy anyway, Bly Madris, to your team, a guy who's got a 177 career average, but he is lefty, I guess against the righty, so they went with that. I guess the Cardinals didn't want Montgomery, the lefty, to face Maldonado, because Maldonado has a couple home runs in his career against Montgomery, I guess. Maybe
well,
that's
and
it.
He had a couple base, had a couple extra base hits, too. I mean, he had, he was having a good game.
Well, he had the home run. He had the home run. Maldonado?
Wait.
Yeah.
Didn't Maldonado have another one?
No, I think he just had that. But regardless, they preferred, I guess they thought Madris was going to be the hitter up in that situation. But you got the bases loaded, down two outs, and he goes to Madris instead of Maldonado in that situation, which was interesting, after Maldonado homered. So I don't get it. Maldonado could strike out three times, and then he's going to bat in a big situation in the ninth, as opposed to homering, and then we got to pull him in the seventh. I don't know.
No, he just had that one.
Yeah, just a homer. That's all. So, it was just a – I mean, this team is – yeah, I think you're right. I'm getting to the point where, at some point this team's going to turn it on. At some point this team's going to turn it on. At some point. The injuries are certainly –
to get a bad feel. Like, this is just
– yeah.
It's got a 16 vibe to it a little bit. This team's much more talented than 16, but the injuries are piling up. I'm really worried about Christian Javier. It's just, it seems like whenever you hear about a pitcher's velocity being down and all of a sudden you see the strikeouts and walks start to, the walks increase, the strikeouts decrease per nine, it's a concern. And so if he has another outing tonight where the velocity's down and he gets knocked around the park, that is a bad, bad sign.
Well, so
Climbing
Tails Hill put something out there, mm-hmm. and they said his release point is higher than it was before. His spin rate is lower. His strikeouts are down. His hard hit balls are up. Uh-huh. This is something that Miller and Murphy should be, you would think.
That's what I'm saying.
They should be all over
Christian
this.
Christian Javier is just physically really, he's just really talented. And so if the velocity's down, that's the first concerning number to me.
Yeah.
Because Lance McCullers, you always heard about the numbers, when he's made comebacks, you'd hear about what he's hitting on the gun. And the first time he got to 90 last year, I remember when he was up to 90. Okay, so he's crossed that threshold when he's trying to make his comeback. When the numbers are down and you're just pitching like regular, that's a big concern, because Christian Javier should hump it up at about 96, 95, 96 on a fairly consistent basis when he's amped up. And that's just – and that hasn't – that's not happening right now. So it's a little bit of a concern, And this stuff is just – it's just starting to pile up. The injuries are piling up. The consistency – why are you playing Joel Song? The consistencies are piling up. I mean, the inconsistencies piling up. The injuries are piling up. I just have such a... I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. It's just, you can't... You have to sneak out with a win in the last game. Although you did, frankly, outplay... you did outwin... You outplayed your opponent's last series 2 out of 3, and you lose 2 out of 3. Then you come in and face a Cardinals team that's blah, and you lose 4-2 with your stopper, and now you got Christian Javier. You just can't afford to have Javier not have a good game. Like, he has to be a plus pitcher.
Well,
and if he's not, you're kind of out of pitching, to be honest with you. And I don't You know, for me, I don't make panic moves just because you don't. Maybe it's not a playoff year. I do not make panic moves just because you want to keep people. The window is still open. So to me, don't panic to bring in a subpar pitcher where you don't have any leverage.
Well, to me, you know, hopefully after the All-Star break, or at least be late July, you're going to get three guys back in Yordan, in Brantley. Hell, you can't even count on Altuve. Hopefully he's going to play tonight. It looks like he's probably going to play tonight. The heel is getting better. And Urquidy. So, while, you know, I don't know how much you have in the minor league system that you can give up anyway. But, yeah, I wouldn't make those moves. Listen, you got to have, especially this weekend, I'm looking at, you know, Blanco's got to face Eovaldi in game one of the Rangers series. Brown against Heaney. Heaney is a beast and a lot of problems for the Astros. Perez is a beast. Valdez has him on Sunday. And then on Monday, Javier against Dunning. And so this is, I mean, if you want to know the truth on paper, the Astros are big dogs in this series, especially at Texas. But this is the most important series of the year. You get through these two games, hopefully you can grab
a split
with these two.
You
got to
hope you can split.
You got to get one of these against St. Louis. And then you got to go into Texas and you got to win three out of four. You got to win three out of four.
You think? I'm thinking you got to split. That's what I was talking about. You got to split.
No, I'm talking about splitting in St. Louis right now.
No, you think you're going to win three out of four against the Rangers?
Well, you got to.
You're going to be a big dog. Just like you said, I don't see one game where they're a favorite.
No.
Maybe Fromber?
No, but you gotta absolutely. Well, Perez is they've struggled against Perez before, and Heaney and Dunning. Eovaldi is maybe your best shot is against Eovaldi, but you got Blanco on.
Oh yeah, Eovaldi will be at least a -150.
Oh yeah, yep. Eovaldi will be a big favorite. So let's face it. Before the All-Star break, where you are in the standings. This is a must have series that you got coming up this weekend. Biggest series that you've had this season. I don't think there's any question about that. So we got all kinds of stuff going on here. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you this morning. We got a lot of basketball to talk about. There's so much stuff flying about. And especially here, when we come back, we're going to play. It's very interesting how what happens with a college coach and his players. And it's going to be, it was interesting to see what Ryan Russillo had to say. He heard some rumors about Kyle Neptune, the Villanova coach, and what he gave to NBA scouts and NBA personnel about Cam Whitmore and maybe how that affected his draft situation. 712 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking right now about Doc Linville. I'm talking about hair. I wake up every morning and I've got to say, the hair looking good today. Let's get it brushed back. Let's bring it back like old Guido style, okay? And then we'll get in there. And then we'll get to work and we're going to have a big day with hair. We're going to have a day with hair. And Doc Linville does this for everybody. When he came in here, he's like, yeah, man, it looks good. Looks good up in the front. Maybe I might have to go back, do a little touch-up on the back because I had a gigantic. But he filled in nicely. And if you've got to go get touch-up, if you got to go get the PRP, you know, they take your blood, they mix it up, and they shoot it back in there. And he thinks that might be for me, where it'll stimulate the growth back there or throughout your entire head. And if that's something that you need to do instead of getting the neo-grafting, that's fine. But if you need the neo-grafting, the process is wonderful. The anesthetic lasts 3 days, so it's not painful like the cutting that they used to do. Don't do that. Go to the neo-grafting where it is just so – the results are great. And it's so much less painful, so much less painful. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. Start the process. Get your hair at 975hair.com.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up with it. You decided to marry it. I told you I wasn't into it. You said it didn't matter.
Let's all get back to two white guys talking sports. Wow, that's a totally new concept. It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
two white guys listening to the outfield right here. I like that. That's nice. Get it, RJ. RJ's getting it in there.
Watching this yet? Bear? It's on TV right now. They're showing right now.
What did you say? You watching this?
You watching this yet? The bear? Oh, you thought I dropped an S-bomb?
Yeah. You said you watching this?
Hey.
This ship?
Spell IHOP.
Are you watching this ship?
Spell IHOP and then say NES.
What?
Spell IHOP and then say NES. And then just say any, and then say the words NES. Sound it out.
Don't do it.
No, you should do it.
No, John.
John, just do it. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Wait a minute.
Spell IHOP. Yeah. And then just say Ness.
You'll get it. You'll probably get it before the show ends.
No, just do it.
Oh.
Look at the gatekeeper in there. RJ made him stop.
Oh, thank you.
RJ. I ate Joe. I saw yesterday on. I'm as bad as I'm as bad as my kids. I hadn't ate either. You ever heard Wendy's? Who said,
huh?
You ever heard of Wendy's?
Yeah, I heard of Wendy's.
Okay.
What about
Wendy's nuts come in? I got that one too. I'm just sitting there wasting my life on Reels. Also, I have the Chinese have us on TikTok. I don't know who's got us on Reels, but I'm just sitting there and like. Oh, I got to send this to John. He's going to love this IHOP one. And the mom goes, "Why would this kid records his mom saying it?" And then the next thing you see is she's cussing him out. And he's sneaking his phone down here where he can still record. Uh-huh. She's like, "Why would you effing make me say that effing thing like that?" And he's still recording and still posted it. Like, kids... they don't care, but I mean, it was for my viewing pleasure, so that's fine. I mean, if he has to get in trouble for my, you know what, he's suffering for my happiness.
Yes, for your happiness.
Yeah,
I'm sure he got. Oh no, he got.
Mom, and then mom said, and then you posted that one.
What about the mom at the video store where every video was her?
That made me laugh.
If you haven't seen that one.
That made me, you know what, honestly, there's two of them that have made me laugh till I started to cry. That one, like, what the? She's some mom, like, from Arkansas or something. She's like a grandma.
Grandma.
Old country woman. And the son has changed, has put her face, like, she looks like somebody from Hank Hill. What's that show called?
Yeah. Whatever it is.
He looks like, that's what the mom looks like.
And she talks like him, too.
He has, he's made her face like in cartoons, and he's put it on videos at a Walmart. Like, one of them is Shrek, one of them is
her face.
Stranger Things, where she looks like Will. It's her face with that haircut. And she's like, what? I can't play it because she's just cussing the whole time.
Oh, the whole thing she's cussing.
And she can't believe what she's seeing. She's getting so upset. And it's
King of the Hill.
It's not a setup like what he set it up. She doesn't know. I laughed until I started to cry. And then yesterday, a woman in, I guess I could play this one. A woman in, you know what? I'm going to send it to you, RJ. I'm going to send it to you right now, and you can just play it yourself, and I'll see if John thinks it's as funny as I think it is. I'm just going to send you something right now. I'm not going to try to do it justice. I'm going to let you hear the broadcast itself. Frank just called it absolute brilliance. Absolute brilliance is what Frank sent. But after you hear it, you're going to understand. RJ, I'm just going to send it to your email. And whenever it's ready, just let us know, and we'll play it for John. It's another one that's got me. Okay, this is pretty smart. This is brilliant.
All right, in the meantime, man, the Chronicle this morning, practically the whole sports section is just about
Ahmed
Thompson. They're very rocket-oriented.
So isn't it a little bit strange that the Chronicle – now, there's nothing new going on right now, but – that the Chronicle's not doing kind of, you know, puff pieces or just space wasters on Texan stuff that's not, you know, lists or whatever on the Texans. They're actually
there's no mention of the Texans.
No,
they're the
actually staying hardcore with Rocket stuff right now, which, you know, they're the ones who have free agency coming up.
Well, Jerome did a big piece on Amon and Osser's dad. And then Daniel Lerner did a big Cam Whitmore piece. And Cam Whitmore is an interesting, listen, that the Rockets got both of these guys is really, I mean, the entire NBA, I haven't seen an article where it hasn't been lauded, the Rockets draft, this young incoming team. It's one of, I'm looking at, here's a story right here, why the Rockets must be aggressive in free agency. With three teams on the up, three teams, here's the headline, is three teams primed for breakout seasons in 23 and 24. Can you name them? The Rockets are one of them. I'm just giving you that hint. The Rockets are one of them.
Three teams?
Yeah. You know who I really like this offseason, and they're not part of this, is Oklahoma City. They're going to get Chet Holmgren back.
They picked up
Wallace in the draft.
We'll see what happens, which is nice. This isn't really. Are the Pelicans listed?
Yes.
Okay.
Pelicans are listed because. Well, they're
assuming
allegedly
Zion's
coming back. Yeah. Allegedly,
so the Pelicans, Eastern Conference. What about No, you can't make them. I don't know who's the third.
Orlando.
Paolo,
Franz Wagner, who was spectacular. Markel Fultz. I saw an Orlando Rockets game, and I was like, holy cow. What? These guys are pretty. They're going to be pretty good.
Oh yeah,
Wagner is a good player.
Yeah, and I think you're kind of working off your assumptions of Fultz from when his shot.
Well, Markel Fultz is actually good. Yeah, good now.
He got back to himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember,
Markel Fultz is pretty good.
We're talking about one of the top players in basketball coming out.
Yeah, yeah. No, draft. Number one overall pick, and he was just a disaster in Philadelphia, and he's actually back to being himself. In Orlando. So that's pretty good. So Cam Whitmore was an interesting study for everybody since he was drafted by the Rockets. Why did he fall to 20? Here's Ryan Russillo. Ryan Russillo had this theory about why Cam, there's so many things flying around about it, the injuries, his attitude, and now listen to this by Ryan Russillo.
You have the pick. That's a pretty good tiebreaker. There may be another lingering injury from this year. There was also the story going around, which I had heard during the process, that the Villanova coach wasn't exactly talking him up, which is kind of a no-no, especially if you're a first-year coach. And I think the Nova family was more pissed about that. And it's not great for recruiting because then people use it against you later on. You know, that's why teams are kind of reluctant in bigger programs to tell the truth about a prospect, because it's like if he gets out that your dog and your guy,
then it hurts you. And it absolutely, Kyle Neptune is the Villanova coach. Yeah, he took over for Jay Wright.
You know, maybe I don't necessarily agree with everything he said there. You may not kill the kid, but you have to be, if you have a relationship, especially if you ever want to get into the pros, if that's ever a. But I think if you have a relationship, so everyone knows Mack Brown is a guy who will never tell the truth about his player.
Yeah.
It'll always be sunshine and dandelions, always about players. So you have to know who you go to. And you have to be able to get honest evaluations and intel. You have to get honest intel about the players. If a kid, who are you protecting? He's a one and done. If he comes in, it's not. You know what's worse is everyone in the NBA thinks that you're not an honest guy. You can't be. You don't have to talk the guy up. You may not kill him, but you don't have to act like he's something he's not.
Well, that gets out right now, though, and every recruiter that's talking to any kid that's thinking about Villanova is telling him, "Look what they did to Cam Whitmore. They dropped him all the way to 20. You don't want to go there because the coach ruined Cam Whitmore." Okay, well, so I agree wholeheartedly.
Well, this is why
if I'm a competing recruiter, I'm using that all day.
You can try to use that, but I mean, obviously, you can counter that. I mean, basically, you can act however you want and have a bad attitude, and then if somebody calls you out on it in a private conversation and it leaks out, then you get in trouble for that too. Like, one even. You're sitting there trying to coach the guy. Maybe he wasn't very coachable. You're honest about it, and somehow you get in trouble for it. So you got to lie for recruiting. And what a stupid world we live in. But regardless, I know that's why Georgia gets really upset. Not Georgia, but Ohio State gets really upset. For some reason, Ohio State stuff leaks. You know, they had something that they said about Justin Fields that Dan Orlovsky ran off and tattletailed because he goes, ooh, I got some inside info. Then Twitter, he didn't know the rules of engagement where Twitter's going to beat you up because they had to protect Justin Fields by all means necessary. And athletes come after Dan Orlovsky. Then he does the apology hostage video in his kitchen where he starts to cry. And then this year, it was Todd McShay got something from Georgia. Well, I don't know. He didn't get it directly from Georgia. My guess is he got it from a scout who got it from Georgia. It was all accurate about a lot of the coachability stuff. That stuff was all accurate. Now, why put it out now? I'm in that space. If you get that, there's no reason to put it out in January because you're so far from the draft. It's just going to look like you're a hater and this, that, and the other. You have to understand that you don't do that until you think it could cause his stock to drop. Now, he dropped Jalen Carter, who's a top two player in this year's draft, fell all the way to, what, 10? And there's a reason for that, and that's because of character issues. But also what happened along the way after Todd McShay came out with all the stuff he said was Jalen Carter was involved in a high-speed race that ended up with two people dying and reckless behavior. And we found out it wasn't the first time he's engaged in reckless driving, reckless behavior. But this is why Ohio State and Georgia, they are extremely sensitive about making sure that the intel that they give you when it's personal like that about a player, that it doesn't get out. They're trying to be honest about the player from one coach to another, but they don't want it getting out because they know then they have to manage, you know, you have to manage the crap that's not really about what you're talking about. You have to manage recruiting, potential recruiting, you know, people recruiting against you, or what is the media going to say, or what are agents going to say, or whatever the case may be. So, you know, you're trying to be honest about what you think about a player. Like, there was enough stuff out there where clearly the head coach had something negative to say. And every once in a while, you'll run into players like Kirby Smart was not going to hold back on if Jalen Carter got kicked out of school. Like he was not doing what he's supposed to. And they had to have a come to Jesus moment where he met with Jalen Carter. And from what I heard, his mom, and said, hey, if this is like during the season or maybe even before the season, said, if we have another issue, he's going to be gone. And I'm not going to hide why he's getting kicked off the team. Mm-hmm. And so Jalen, you know, got it together, didn't have, I guess, many more issues. But these coaches understand that what they say does have an impact, but they also want to be honest with teams and some don't. That's why. So a friend of mine who's in the league who said he had to, like at LSU, he knew that there was a it was at Texas. There was a you always went to there was a trainer, and this trainer was very good at being honest. It was a female trainer, and she would be honest about the things she saw in the training room and all that. And so you have to know who to buddy up with to try to get honest stuff. Because like Mac Brown was never going to give you honest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go find who would have it. LSU's got a guy who's been there forever. You probably know him. I'm not going to mention his name. Who's very honest about players. And actually, LSU was always very honest about their players, to be honest, you know.
But 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bobby, you're going to be first up on the other side. Anybody else you want to get in, come on. You're more than welcome to hang this morning here. Damaris Barbecue is what sponsored this little segment, and they're smoked wings, perfectly smoked, tender, and juicy. I like the Greek wings. I like the fried Greek wings, but these smoked wings, a bunch of people swear by them. I'm telling you, the wings at Damaris, the one right there on 18th Street at 610, awesome, awesome, awesome. If you're looking for great wings while you're watching games, get over to Damaris Barbecue. Time to take a break. Don't go anywhere. 713-780-3776.
Thank you for listening to ESPN 97.5. It means the world.
I was the number one star in the world.
Bang.
The world.
The preambulatory NFL person, the godmother of quality footwear. You found the trench.
Get in the trench.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back here. on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Tried to trick you.
You did try to trick me with that IHOP. Okay, that ain't happening.
Huge. Let's get to the to the phones, but guys, huge information. James Harden tomorrow is going to have to decide on his player option.
Oh.
$35.6 million. Guys, breaking news here. James Harden has until tomorrow to decide on whether he or not he goes back for $35.6 million this year, or if Daryl Morey gets him at a discount for 2 years. Those are his options because he has no leverage. Have you heard any other team interested in James?
No, and I think James just tried to use the Rockets, and and now that the Rockets are that well is dry, James is like, oh no, maybe I do take the 35.6.
I would
too. I mean, I can't believe Middleton gave up 40. I know he's going to get a longer term deal.
He's
got a better shot at getting a longer term deal, 3-4 year deal, than James Harden does. James, Daryl Morey has finally woken up to the fact. First of all, I ain't giving you max dollars. Secondly, I ain't giving you a long term deal. And so James is like, Chris Middleton has options. Chris Middleton is still attractive.
James's postseason foibles, and I think the fact that he's not maybe necessarily the great team guys caught up with him. He's a good stat guy, and that's fine, and he has his moments. But James, I for one am happy that James is not coming back to Houston. Just don't see him being a good fit for the young guys, and he's not a defender. Like, he doesn't – that's not an Udoka-style player in terms of what they're trying to create. Rockets front office have said they want to get better defensively. Well, that ain't him.
That ain't James. And that ain't the veteran that you want leading these young guys either.
No.
Let's get Bobby in here. Hey, Bobby, what's going on?
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. I've got a new Astros take I wanted to give y'all, you know, kind of spice it up a little bit. Should I do this calm, cool, collected, try to sell it, or do we want to hot take it? Do we want to cook a little bit?
Today is cooking. Let him cook.
Let him cook.
We got to let him cook.
All right.
Okay, we're going to cook.
Right,
look, guys, it's almost July. This team is what it is, okay? And I'm tired of hearing about, oh, it's the pitching. Oh, it's the injuries. Oh, some guys need to step up. No, the issue is Jim Crane. Jim Crane took a Jeff Lunau-built machine and tore it to pieces. He kept telling us he's got money saved for Springer. We didn't get Springer. We've got money for Cole. We didn't get Cole. We've got money for Carlos. We could use a Carlos and a Springer and a Cole and a Verlander right about now, couldn't we? But no, Jim wants to list the 100-year-old baseball dudes who haven't been relevant since the 70s, and now this team is getting torn to shreds. We're heading back to the Drayton era. We'll be lucky if we make the playoffs for the next 10 years. Our farm system's torn to shreds. Jim, sell the team!
Oh, I said, let him cook.
Okay, now look. Wow. By definition, that is a let him cook.
Yeah.
Now
he did
because
let him cook.
That is the high. This is a guy coming up. By the way, they won a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Verlander was on that one. The other three guys weren't even on that team, and they just won a World Series. Jim Crane, under his ownership, has been to the World Series 4 out of the last 6 years. I understand some frustrations.
Yeah.
I'm not sure selling the team is really one that I can personally get behind.
No.
But I get why you're cooking. I understand why you're cooking.
Listen, the Astro way has worked now for 7 years. It's not where it was even just last year. You can't just dismiss the injuries. You can't. Now, there is no organization that loses the likes of the guys that you mentioned every single year, the Springers, the Mortons, the Coles, the Verlanders, the Correas. Every single year you lose not only a centerpiece but one of the best players in baseball, the top free agent in all of baseball seemingly every year, and survive that. And yet the Astros have been able to do it. But they got away from that this offseason. They got away from...
That's the problem.
When they started talking about, well, it's got to be a mix. It's not just numbers. It's not just analytics. We got to have baseball people making decisions. And you know what? It's screwed up.
And the baseball people were Jeff and Dusty, and frankly, it's just the analytics people. You know, we saw this play out before with Bill O'Brien. Mm. The evaluation, the analytics piece has been very good for recognizing potential talent that could step up, especially in the bullpen, out of nowhere. And then also contractually, how to make it a sustainable product without doing the long-term pays. And eventually, I think you run into a wall when you eventually let so much talent go. Eventually, you run into an issue if you don't draft well or you start having injuries. But the thing that will speed it up is bad contracts. I mean, bad contracts will speed that process up, because not only do you not get performance, but you're stuck to non-performance for longer periods of time. And, boy, I don't want to act like it's just insane damage that's been done because of 2 months or whatever it was without a GM, but it's certainly not great.
No.
I mean, it's certainly not great. It's one thing if, you know, it'd be one thing if Montero was hurt and not even pitching. It would have been a net positive.
Yeah.
If Montero was out for the year with an injury, actually it's a net positive.
I don't know anybody that would have a 7.7 ERA in his place. So, yeah, he is actually hurting the team being on the field.
You might have won two extra games if he had been out for the year.
Yeah, you would have gotten rid of him. If it wasn't Montero and his new $34.5 million contract, he'd be in the minors. Or he would have been released if he had a...
He'd be DFA'd.
Not DFA'd.
He was really good for you.
He'd be waived.
He was really good for you yesterday. I mean, last year. He was good for you last year. But they would, you're right. They would handle him differently.
Probably. Oh, yeah. No. With this $34.5 million deal, it's handcuffing him. And they can't send him to the minors. He's got to get hit the IL. I'm so shocked that he's still not injured in some way, shape, or form. You got to go up to him. Hey, are you sure that shoulder's
here,
okay?
Let us help you with that.
Listen, are you sure you're okay?
I don't want to see a Galooly situation where, you know,
no,
Dana Brown has to have somebody in mask come and hit him in the legs.
No, we're not.
I'm not calling on that.
We're not hitting him with a bat in his knees. No.
Yeah, I'm not calling on that. That's not what I'm advocating.
Okay,
we're just advocating for a healthy scratch.
Yep. Rusty wants to get in here and talk about the Astros. Hey, Rusty.
Hey, what's going on, man? I think the guy misunderstood me. This is Rafael Montero talking right now, man.
Hey,
y'all
Rafael.
Talking about me, man?
Hey.
Y'all talking about
me?
Hey,
what's going on?
I heard, how's your shoulder? Is it feeling bad? You think you might have to hit the IL?
I'm telling you right now, man. I got $33 million in the bank. I'm feeling great. And I'm going to be back. You stop talking about me now, John. I'll tell you. I'll come get you, man. Go Astros. We're going to win, baby. Best bullpen pitcher right now in the game. That's me, Rafael Montero. You keep talking about me, I'm going to come after you, man. I'll talk to you later, man.
Okay. It's the first time I've been threatened by a pitcher on the Astros. Well, I've been hated by pitchers on the Astros before because of you.
Yeah.
Billy Wagner.
Yep. Well, then mixed in a second pitch.
Well, wow. Again with that.
What?
Billy Wagner didn't talk to me for almost a year because of you, and now you're still doing that?
Just because I said Billy probably couldn't just sit on fastball all the time.
Well, I got him on the show. I got him on to come on in the morning. We do an interview with him, and at the end of the interview, after he hangs up, you're like, well, he needs another pitch. And he was listening, and then he's like, yeah, you're bad-mouthing me. After I said, I didn't bad-mouth you. Lance did.
No.
Okay?
That was John.
No. So,
I always thought Billy should throw nothing but straight fastballs. That was kind of where I was at.
Well, Billy Wagner is a Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Famer the way he pitched. Maybe, I don't know how many Hall of Fames you're in right now, okay? So,
Tay, I'd have a lot if I had his fastball because I would have thrown a second pitch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You never had his fastball, so you don't know what you'd have done with it.
I'd have relied more on that breaking pitch, little bit more as a wipeout pitch.
Really?
Okay. Not trying to gas somebody, you know, 98 when that's all they're sitting on.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Those guys could sit on it, and Billy Wagner still got him out. That's what Billy Wagner did, okay? That's what Billy Wagner was
about. Yeah, Billy was good.
Well, Billy was good.
When Billy started throwing that curveball, they were frozen pieces. It was like watching Nolan Ryan. When Nolan would throw his curveball, you literally had no chance because Ryan Express is coming in at close to 100, and then he throws a 12-6 curve off the table, and you had no chance. Like, you had to be sitting on curve to have any chance to hit it. I just think Billy would have. But Billy just didn't have great confidence in that second pitch. Great pitchers end up. Well, don't get me on. Billy's done. Why are you getting? You just got me off on a Billy Wagner.
Because Rafael,
because Rafael Montero is threatening me.
As a pitching coach, as a kind of a pitching coach, I don't have anything I can do to help
him. Well, maybe you could help Christian Javier and Rafael Montero instead of sitting over here talking about Billy Wagner right now. Maybe you could help those guys out because that's what we need right now. And otherwise, Jim Crane's going to have to sell the team is what I heard. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, word on the streets is Astros fans are hot and they want Jim Crane to sell the team.
Listen, that's no jab at Jim Crane. It's
that
kind
was,
of a jab.
That was cooking, by the way. And I told Mason, I said, I am waking you up. I said, you're waking up and you're going to call in and you're going to defend your comments that you could beat players from the 50s. And by the way, it's not just the 50s. I asked him questions yesterday. He goes, and I said, what about the 60s? He goes, oh, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, his son thinks he can.
He legitimately believes.
No
in
one
his
could
younger
stop
brother,
him in the 50s.
And his younger brother believes
in the
that,
NBA.
Yeah, he's scoring on. He's cooking.
Oh my gosh!
NBA players because they were so small and so bad.
You need to cook with Sight Jab.
In his words, they're so bad. Sight Jab, they're so good. Sight Jab, customized websites from the ground floor up. You want somebody in Sight Jab who is making sure that they basically take your business and put it in the best light. You have a website that looks great. They show who you are. They show what you do. They show who you work with. And then after they get all the information about you that they need, they give people a chance to sign up for your business, whether it's, you know, directly with e-commerce or whether it's filling out a form to have you come out and give consultations or meet with them to potentially get their business. That's what they do. And it's very important to have a digital footprint. You've got to have a digital footprint. And my friends over at SiteJab are the ones who are going to do that for you. They do an amazing job. All you have to do is stop by the website and set up your consultation. Go to SiteJab.com today. That's SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
Toss a coin to your witcher.
Now back to two guys who would by now be recognized as common law married in at least 8 states, John and Lance, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. We have been remiss. We haven't even mentioned Ryan Mallett. Ryan Mallett was a big story yesterday in that he was in Florida in the panhandle. And apparently the Florida sheriff has ripped beachgoers who are ignoring warnings of deadly water conditions after the Florida panhandle experienced nearly a dozen deadly drownings.
Mm.
Yeah. See, they went out, he and his buddies, I guess, Ryan Mallett, went out to a sandbar, the second sandbar, and then they were coming back in and they dragged Ryan in. I mean, they all struggled. Apparently, there were a few of them that were struggling. Ryan Mallett was one of them. And he didn't make it. Ryan Mallett didn't make it. And they brought him back in and they tried to save him, but it was too late. Ryan Mallett, the former Texans quarterback, Arkansas quarterback, had a nice college career, didn't really make it in the pros, but he made some money. He was a high school coach in Arkansas. Like
35, right?
35 years old and died drowned. You would think an athlete, you know, but he's a big dude now. That's a lot of weight to carry and swim.
It's like 6'5", 235 when he played.
Or probably even bigger now.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was a lot to do. And the sheriff just said, you know what, this is, you guys are acting foolishly. And so Ryan Mallett dead yesterday. That was shocking news, truth be told. Ryan Mallett had a rifle for an arm. He just didn't know how to use it. I don't know that he had the head for the game at the NFL level. He was a good college quarterback, though. Did a nice job in college.
He was solid.
Yeah.
Yep, he was solid. He was here part of the – Bill O'Brien really wanted him to be the guy, I think, but Hoyer was just more consistent. Remember they went to Mallett, and then they ended up going back to Hoyer, and Hoyer actually played pretty well after he got back in the starting lineup. But, yeah, Ryan Mallett passed away at the age of 35. So, well, that's crazy.
Yep.
There was another bit of news that we'll get to in the next hour about the NCAA and NIL that that could be setting up for a court battle. Let's get Longhorn Scott in here. Wants to talk about the Astros. Longhorn Scott, they've got a big there's a big NIL shoot going on at Austin today. John Daspit has got about 11 Longhorns that he's got out taking a doing a commercial and a video out at Hutto. So it's man, it's amazing how this NIL space and is so big, and Texas is, you know, Texas is probably going to capitalize about as much as anyone on that one.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring up NIL, because that's sort of along the lines of what I was going to, the analogy I wanted to propose. And so hear me out here. I'll try to make this as concise as I can. But when I think about the Astros, you know, I felt like as soon as they got rid of Jeff Luhnow, whatever, have we ever come to consensus on that, by the way? Is it Luhnow?
Luhnow? It's Luhnow.
I don't know. Anyway.
Jeff Luhnow.
Luhnow. It's that's what Luhnow. I thought. Well, as soon as he got booted, you know, and Hinch, that's when he started to go, okay, that was the guy, that was the, he was the straw that stirred the drink or whatever, right? I mean, he built that, coming back all the way to like 2012. He built the minor league system. He built, you know, it all bore out. And we're seeing kind of the tail end of that. And, you know, Glick, I think, did a pretty good job. Probably the closest facsimile you were going to get of Luhnow. And then you bounce him because, you know, it reminded me of something else that I'm very familiar with, right? Remember back in, like, what was it, 82, the Ags hired Jack and Cheryl from Pittsburgh. And by the way, they'd go on to be on probation not long after he left. Shocker. But he starts FedExing cash all over the place. So he starts building the groundwork for making A&M relevant for the first time. They start winning. They get every kid. They're getting everybody. And they start winning, and they win, and then, of course, you know, that eventually gets caught up with him, and he gets bounced out of there, and along comes R.C. Slocum, who's kind of riding it out. And he rides it out pretty good, right? He's kind of capitalizing on that success that Jack and Cheryl built. Starts to kind of become who he really is over time, though. Texas hires Mack Brown, a.k.a., or also parallel, the Rangers invest a ton of money into their ball club. And all of a sudden, there's a tide shift. I mean, so Cheryl rode that out for a while. You know, right now you're seeing the Astros having ridden that out. And I'm not saying I'm not even saying they won't make the playoffs this year. They might. It's too early to know for sure. But you just got to wonder about the long-term development with the farm system, because that's what built this 4 out of 6 last year's World Series appearances. I mean, am I wrong, by the way?
No, you're not. Actually, Jeff Luhnow was – Excellent. And we're going to find out in, you know, Jim Click actually did a pretty good job too. He actually, there weren't many holes to fill, but the bullpen was one of them. And he did a really nice job bringing in some bullpen help. But no, Jeff Luhnow was excellent in every single phase. The minor league system when he got here after Uncle Drayton was a disaster. He had to build that whole the whole development process. They had to redo the entire system from low A ball all the way through the big leagues. He had a wonderful eye for talent. I mean, look at the Yordan trade. I mean, it was guy after guy after guy that he drafted, guy after guy after guy. Now, he made some mistakes with Brady Aiken. He made a mistake with Mark Appel. But for the most part, Jeff Luhnow was unbelievable in spotting talent mm-hmm. and signing talent and doing it, in especially the Latin American talent, where he, you know, you only get so much money. You have a cap on how much money that you can spend on Latin American players in a certain amount of time, in a 3-year period, I believe. Anyway, when everybody else spent all their money, then Jeff Luhnow swept in and found a bunch of guys that they all missed and did a wonderful job of picking them up. Luhnow was the architect and just couldn't have been any better at what he did. Could mm-hmm. not have been any better. Then you had the scandal and everything
else. Well, he was a really, you know, he was a very, very highly, I remember talking to John, what's his name? John Hadley, right? Our buddy John Hadley used to come on the radio with us. He's in St. Louis. He loved Luhnow. He goes, man, when the Astros, I remember talking to him about Jeff Luhnow when Luhnow came over to the Astros. He goes, you guys got a really good one. He goes, I love Jeff Luhnow. This guy's excellent. And I guess Hadley knew him pretty well. And you know what? Everything he said was true. I remember sitting in when I was at 790, we had the Astros weren't good. It was 2013, I guess, when he came in, or 12, whatever it was. went and had a lunch with Jeff Leno and some other people from the Astros organization. And, you know, they kind of wanted, they're trying to get the media back on their side. We, no one even wanted to talk about this. There was nothing to talk about. And you could tell right there in that little luncheon that, man, this guy's really, really sharp, like really gets it. But it's a matter of understanding what the philosophy is going to be and understanding how to implement it. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for a few reasons. And I don't know how much of this is Leno. There's always somebody else behind the scenes that we don't know about who did a great job or whatever. But think about what the Astros did. They first of all, did a great job of implementing an analytics-driven system that recognized spin rate, that used technology to recognize untapped talent from other teams. They did a and I would assume, you know, from in terms of draftable prospects. He did a great job of evaluating draftable prospects. They did a great job. It's under, I think it's underappreciated and under discussed of development in the minor league system. Like, it's not just that guys became good players on the major league level. We always think, well, look at Bregman. Bregman came up and did this. George Springer came up and did this. No, there was development in the minor league system that allowed it.
Yep.
You know, it didn't die on the vine. Talent didn't die on the vine. So they isolated it. They developed it. And you mentioned the most important, frankly, the most important piece has been recognition and execution of the Latin American market and Cuban market. They have been great. The move where he traded Josh Fields for Yordan,
it's unbelievable.
It's unreal.
Yep.
Some of the stuff he's done, clearly, you know, Yordan maybe has become a much better player than they even anticipated, obviously. Now, Altuve was already in place, but you look at all the, as you mentioned, you know, Christian Javier, Urquidy, the Framber Valdez, their ability to isolate that talent, pay low dollars to bring them in, even though they're older players. A lot of people give up on the older Latin players. They think you got to get them at, you know, 15, 16 or whatever. And Jeff Leno said, hey, you know what? We'll go get guys that we think have physical aptitude. We'll get them, you know, in their 20s. That's fine. We'll go do it that way. And so Jeff Leno in every way, shape, and form. Now, was the culture great all the time? I don't know. People who cover the Astros, more than one, have said they didn't love the culture, that they think it was a little bit of a problem. He's not here. Brandon Taubman's not here. I think there's people who Jeff Leno let go and who fired who maybe weren't super excited about Jeff Leno, some of the older scouts or whatever. All I know is that that dude knew how to build a team now. He knew how to build an organization is all I know. He built a hell of an organization.
He's the best. I mean, and there's no, I don't even think there's anybody close to what Jeff Leno did here in the city. Look at this last 6 years, and that's all by Luno design. 7:58 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Why don't we get you in on the other side? Right now, we got, you just talked about John Daspit and the shoot. Let's talk more about John.
Yeah, Daspit. John Daspit gives back to the community. Gives away bikes and gives away. He does bike drops with Selvin Young all the time. He's doing a lot of things in the community that are not really discussed. It's been doing it for a while. I like to shine light on it because he is a guy who does give back, and the NIL space is just one of them that he wants to support his schools, University of Texas, where he went to undergrad, Houston, where he did law school. But he's got, you know, he's doing some other NIL deals as well, and he recognizes, look, I'm having a lot of success. I want to share some of that with some of the players that are out there, but I also want to make sure that I don't lose focus on what I'm supposed to do, and that is taking care of people who have been badly injured in accidents and people who need someone to look out for them so that all the hospital bills are paid for, all the missed time at work is paid for, all the pain and suffering is accounted for, physical therapy is going to be paid for, and that you're not going to end up with the bill down the road because it's an injury that simply isn't going away. John Daspit understands that. He's been through, you know, thousands and thousands of cases. He is a very talented lawyer, and he's hired a lot of talented lawyers. 10 offices in the Houston area, and now they're expanding outside of in the state of Texas, and now they're expanding outside of Texas as well. He's the best that you are going to find. He's extremely successful, and he's a guy that you got to talk to before you sign any papers and take any settlement check. Make sure that you're getting what you deserve on that one. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW, or go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN975.com. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.